With us today is Senator Rand Paul from the great state of Kentucky, and he's very outspoken in many issues, and together we both feel that America is under attack and in so many, many directions. Senator Paul, the virus that came from China, it's still all on our minds. It killed over a million Americans. And I don't think the American people, deep down inside, when you ask them, they don't know what the truth is. Where do we stand, Senator, on Dr. Fauci and what he knew and when he knew?
You know, I've been investigating this for 3 years now. And the more we dig for more information, the more the Biden administration, Fauci, others at the NIH have basically hidden the information. They refuse to divulge the information. Most of what we've learned about the origins of the virus and the fact that it came from a lab in Wuhan have actually come through Freedom of Information Act. We now know that Fauci and all of his fellow virologists were privately saying to each other in early February of 2020 that they thought the virus had come from a lab. They thought the virus looked manipulated and that they were, some of them 50-50, some of them 80-20, some of them 90-10 in their belief that it came from the lab. And yet publicly, at exactly the same time, Anthony Fauci commissioned these virologists to write a paper saying that basically there wasn't any way it was, to say that there was no evidence of this being a laboratory construct or made in a lab. But since then, entire books have been written about this. I wrote a book called Deception, The Great COVID Cover-Up, about this, that details the cover-up that went involved. Alina Chan wrote a book called Viral, which talks about this as well. There have been several great books written about this. And the evidence, as we've discovered so far, shows that Anthony Fauci funded this research, allowed it to go on for nearly a decade. And then when the pandemic occurred, he immediately began scrambling to make sure that any evidence that he had funded this was obscured. He lied to Congress. That's a felony. I think that by lying to Congress that he deserves prison time. And we've referred him not once, not twice, but three times to the Department of Justice. But Biden's Department of Justice is probably more partisan than any attorney general has ever been. And unfortunately, the American people are not getting justice. He tends to spend, you know, years and years going after anybody who wandered into the Capitol on January 6th, putting people away for decades. And yet people who lied to Congress, they haven't done a thing about.
And a million, what's the final number? Over a million people?
Over a million. And, you know, I think that under ordinary circumstances, Democrats would be alarmed by that and say, what can we do to try to make sure this doesn't happen again? And that's really my biggest desire. I think Anthony Fauci should be held responsible, at least morally, for funding this and making a terrible, tragic decision to fund this dangerous gain-of-function research in China. But I also want to make sure this doesn't happen again. And as we sit here and speak, there are labs around the U.S. and labs around the world, still funded by our government, that are doing gain-of-function research. They're taking a virus, parts of one virus, putting it together with the genetic sequences for parts of another virus, and creating new viruses. We are at a stage in scientific development where people can order off the internet the parts of the virus to make polio. You can make polio in the lab now. God forbid that they start making smallpox in a lab somewhere. We know that they're experimenting with Ebola, which is that hemorrhagic virus from Africa. They're experimenting to see if they can make that spread through the air. Currently, Ebola can only be transmitted by bodily fluids like AIDS, so people know how to protect themselves. But with Ebola, if you had it spreading through the air, you could have something so contagious that you could wipe out 50% of civilization. And so we're working on legislation and trying to get Democrats involved to have an independent commission that would oversee all gain-of-function research in the United States and see if we could prevent something like this from happening again.
Understood. And, I mean, when I met with senior Chinese officials, Senator, and I said to them, there's something wrong here. Somebody in China knew because they stopped the flights within China and did not stop the flights within Europe and New York and the United States.
And in all likelihood, the Chinese knew about this in the fall of 2019, at least probably 2 to 3 months before. We have reports from Chinese informants that say in the fall of 2019 that there was already emergency room hospital parking lots full of people with pneumonia of unknown origin. They may not have known exactly what it was, but they knew something was going on. I think there's actually satellite images of pictures of hospital parking lots full beginning in October and November. We also have evidence that's been declassified that says three of the first people who got a pneumonia of unknown origin worked in Dr. Xi's lab in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So three researchers that were doing this gain-of-function research got sick in early November, were hospitalized for a pneumonia of unknown origin. Now, they may not have known what it was at first, but they knew some kind of contagion was going on. They also knew the laboratory workers were getting sick. And to this date, they just haven't been forthcoming with letting us know. Were those people subsequently tested to see if they'd had COVID? Were they tested for antibodies for COVID once the COVID test was available? You know, the woman there denies any of this, but there's a lot of distrust because they haven't been open to the international world. They basically closed off all investigations, even to their own scientists. They have told their own scientists that they are punishable by imprisonment if they mention or talk about the pandemic or its origins publicly at all.
And the other item that I brought up with those Chinese diplomats that I met with was the fact that fentanyl killing through our borders, killing Americans, killed 100,000 Americans in 12 months, China, at a snap of the finger, could put a halt to that.
Yeah, it is one of the things that we should have cooperation on and that we are fools not to pursue. The one thing we have to remember, though, when you deal with China, is you can't send your diplomats to China to scold China. If you treat China like a teenager, they'll react like a teenager. So if you go to China and scold them, they will react like a petulant teenager, and that's to do the opposite of what you tell them. So if you want a country that's proud of their 5,000-year history, you have to go to them and you have to speak in diplomatic terms, treat them diplomatically. And then typically, if you want something from a country, you end up having to trade something. On fentanyl, we ought to be able to do that without trading anything. If we want them to quit sending arms to the Ukraine war, I think we'd have to offer them something, which might be an enhancement to trade or some lifting of sanctions. But sending Blinken and Jennifer Yellen over there to scold and yell at the Chinese, I think has the opposite effect and doesn't do any good. So I'm for, you know, getting to the truth, not pulling any punches on the origins of COVID, letting criticism lay bare where it needs to. But at the same time, I think we should not be banning trade with China or banning any kind of Chinese companies in our country, because I think if you do, I think we're more likely than not leading towards war.
One more quick subject. We got a couple minutes left. Is Ukraine. You've been a critic of sending money to the Ukraine, and I almost agree with you. I know our government has been using the Ukraine to fight Russia. But a lot of the support that we're giving the Ukraine, I just don't feel good about it. I feel like it disappears. What's your thoughts?
My primary reason for opposing sending money to Ukraine is that we don't have any money. The money has to be borrowed. So basically, you know, we owe China $1 trillion. They bought $1 trillion worth of our debt. We have to basically borrow money from China in order to send it to Ukraine. That makes no economic sense and makes us weaker. My oath of office is to America. It's to keeping our national security safe and secure, keeping us safe from external attack. And that, to do that, we can't keep adding trillions of dollars to debt. So just for not financial reasons, we shouldn't do it. But the other thing we should consider is the war, by all accounts, is a stalemate. It's a grinding, gory war with 500,000 people killed and injured so far. The Russian army and country is so large that I don't think the Ukrainians can dislodge them. Now, I think Ukrainians have fought valiantly and they have fought at the war to a standstill. But what the Biden administration keeps telling them, and McConnell's included with the Biden administration because there's not a great deal of separation on this issue, what they've been saying to the Ukrainians is, absolutely, we will put you in NATO no matter what. Well, that's the one thing that actually Ukraine has that they could negotiate. if they were willing to negotiate, that they would be a neutral country and not allied with the Russians and not allied with the West, but be open to trade with both. I think what they could do is that could be negotiated for withdrawal of troops. Now, there's no guarantee the Russians would withdraw troops, but it'd be worth the offer because then they would be playing Russia's bluff and say, hey, we'll do this. We'll become a neutral nation. We won't enter into NATO, but we'll do an exchange for you guys removing your troops, and then we'll have elections. That would have been the best, probably, policy 2 or 3 years ago, and it's still the best policy, but the Biden administration takes it off the table. We give unlimited arms to Ukraine, and in doing so, we take away the inducement to have any kind of negotiations for peace. And then you're right, there's still a great deal of corruption. Not only is there corruption in Russian oligarchs, there's corruption with Ukrainian oligarchs. We know that we're paying the salaries of Ukraine. We know we're paying for pensions. We know we're paying for small business loans to, you know, different random stores selling purses and other items. So, I mean, we do have to worry about this because I think ultimately this amount of money that we're giving away is actually making our country weaker.
Senator Rand Paul, I want to thank you on behalf of all American people. You do a great job, and you say it the way it is. And there's so many more things we have to talk about. I hope we can talk about it again in the near future.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.